All right, church, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. We're going to go ahead and start our Sunday school, so if you guys can try to find a seat, and we'll continue here for the Sunday school hour. Amen. All right, guys, with that said, would you do me a favor and turn with me in your Bible to the book of Judges, chapter number 10. Judges, chapter number 10. And as we start this Sunday school hour, those of you guys who have known that Brother Carl has been taking a break with our special guest speaker and visitor, my throat is a little weak. I got to work it out. It's been a while since I've had the opportunity to teach and preach to you today. So I'm glad to be back behind this pulpit. And I'm hoping that everything that we experienced this past week will stay with you. And just like Brother Miracle taught us way back in the day, that we will chew on what we've been learning from our teachings from the Word of God. Amen. And so with that said, would you do me a favor, church, and let's continue together as we study within our Sunday school hour. I just would like to let you know right now, this is the mini title for our mini lesson before the Sunday service main meal, How Not to Grieve God. How Not to Grieve God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this hour you've given us to wake up another day of life and breath. I'm so thankful to see all those that are here physically. My hope and prayer, my God, is that they're also here spiritually, as you're going to teach us today from the Bible how not to grieve you. And we're going to learn today how people grieved you because of their heart. My God, would you teach us today, especially me? I always want to raise my hand first to be an example to the flock. Lord God, I know that I'm not perfect, but you are. I know that I'm a sinner, but you're not. But I know you offer me, the sinner, wisdom on how to change my ways to be pleasing to you. So God, would you help us all to learn today's lesson in Jesus' name? Amen. All right, Judges chapter 10. Today's message again, how not to grieve God. A lot of us, friends, have experienced grief, either from the actions or the mistakes of others around you. Or, if you're honest with me today, some of you have been the cause of grief towards others because of what? Your actions. Well, friends, when we consider the Bible today, and we're going to study this lesson for the Sunday school, God was grieved a lot from man in general. Number two, he was grieved by the affairs of the nation of Israel when they would become disobedient to his laws. And in this context, in Judges 10, they had already left Egypt. Remember, the Exodus already took place. Moses had already led them to the point where God said, here you are, you can go over, so raise up Joshua, the next pastor for the church of Israel. Now send him in there, raise him in there, and deliver them. And so Joshua dies, and now the people of Israel are left unto themselves, but God would supernaturally speak to them and let them know if they're doing right or if they're doing wrong. And 99% of the book of Judges, they're doing wrong. And so we're going to learn from this lesson. Judges 1, hope you have your Bible open with me, verse 1. Bible says, and after Abimelech there arose to defend Israel, Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamer in Mount Ephraim. He judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. After him arose Jer, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jer unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jer died and was buried in Camon. So in the book of Judges, you're going to read about men being raised up by God to be the judge or the deliverer of the nation of Israel while they were still in the process of possessing the land that God had promised them. Now look at verse 6. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Now, before we continue, let me ask you a question. After you became a born-again Christian, let's be honest now, how many of us still did a little bit of evil before the sight of God? Anybody out there? Okay. How many of us still make mistakes even though we became a Christian? Anybody out there? All right. So I just want you to know, when God first saved your soul, when you called on Jesus Christ, trusting him, dying on the cross and rising from the dead to offer you eternal life, he did his part. He kept his end of the covenant. He kept his end of the bargain in giving you eternal life, in giving you everlasting life, and not leaving you nor forsaking you. But 100% of the time, it is us, the human, on the other end that fail to continue on our end, which is what? Abiding and obeying. So the nation of Israel, what was their problem? They were serving the gods of the people. Look at what it says. They served Baalim, Ashtoreth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. And look at what happened, church. And forsook the Lord, number one. Number two, and served not him. Two things are going to happen to you, friend, when you begin to forsake the Lord in your heart. When you begin to hang around with the unbeliever a little too long. When you begin to allow the influences from this world to hinder your worship of God, you are going to forsake him in your heart to not obey the commands. And number two, you are going to fail serving him. That's going to be a thing that is going to displease God. And I'm going to show you today that's what's going to grieve God's heart. So friend, we're hoping to learn today in our lesson. So look at here, verse 7. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. By the way, just remember, your God is the same God of the Old Testament. He's the same great God, Almighty, the Almighty God, the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was manifest in the body of flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, but that's the same heart of God. He is the same holy God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can't think that even us as believers, when we mess up on God, we feel that it doesn't disappoint God, that we don't grieve God. We do. I'm going to show you. The difference is we're not the nation of Israel. We're New Testament Christians. He's not dealing with us physically. So every time that Brother Carlos sins, he's not going to raise up an army to come take me out. You understand what we're saying? All right, now verse 8. That year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. Friend, that's what happens when you stray from the path of righteousness, sin, and the influence of the world and the sinners around you. You know what they're going to do? They're going to vex you. They're going to be a thorn in your side. They're going to be a problem for you. And that's why God is trying his best to teach you, to tell you, stay on this path. So now let's continue. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. So now come down with me, verse number 10. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Baalim. The Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians? From the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, the Amalekites, the Moanites did oppress you, and ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. You know what we can say in application today as Christians? When you called on Jesus Christ to save your soul, you know what he did? He saved your soul. But notice, when you stray from God, every time you came back and repented and say, God, I'm sorry for my sin, would you forgive me? You know what he did? He forgave you. He had compassion. He continually extended that to you, but he doesn't want you to continue to think that that's going to be the continuous pattern concerning the end result of your decision making. In other words, when we stray from the path, there's going to be consequence. He's not going to deliver you from the consequence, but he's going to forgive your sin. So don't forget that. Relationship can be restored when we ask him to forgive us, but the consequence, it's not going to be delivered. So notice here, church, they cried. What did God say? Didn't I do that? Now look at verse 13. Yet you have forsaken me, served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Whew. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Amen. Aren't you glad that we're not underneath that same way that God dealt with the nation of Israel conditionally? Aren't you glad to know that whenever you mess up on God, you can come back, 1 John 1, confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to what? Forgive you. Aren't you glad for that? But what if, just by chance, what if, just for the sake of our conversation, what if God told you that? What if God said, son, you kept messing up on me. You know what? You want to go back to that entertainment? You want to go back to the drug, the alcohol? You want to go back to the man, the woman? You want to go back over there? Why don't you ask them to help you? Don't ask me no more, because I'm done. I'm done doing it. You know, it's time for you to learn your lesson. People have done that to me, amen. I'm sure they've done that to you, but I want you to see something today. Look at verse 14. God tells the nation of Israel, go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. That's harsh. That's harsh. The children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. Friend, that's the state that we need to get to. We need to get to the verse 15 part of Israel when we sin against God. In other words, as we strayed from him, we've left the house of the Father within our heart. We've turned back to the world. We've backslidden, if you will, and into the world. We need to come back to that part in verse 18 and say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. You know what, God, you're right. Your Bible is right. Your judgments are right, God. You know what? before the financial restoration for my life, before the restoration within my relationship with people, before my children, before my workplace. You know what, God? Why don't you just do whatever you say is right, and I'll be okay. I'll be okay. That's where we need to get to. So what did they do? They put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. But now look, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. God forgave him. He raised up a deliverer in Judges chapter 11. But in the meantime, you know what grieved his heart? The condition of his people. The condition of his people. Do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn now to Genesis chapter 6. Is it true that God can be remorseful for certain things that he has done? Absolutely. That's the good news about coming to a Bible-based church like ours, because we're going to teach you the Bible, that God can also feel bad about a thing he did and repent. In other words, he can say, man, I should not have done that. But we're going to learn some great lessons. Look at Genesis 6 with me, church, and come along at verse number 5. We're going to go back now thousands of years earlier. We're going to go back to the early creation time frame, right? Bible says in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Now look at here, church, and it grieved him at his heart. Church, you know that God has a heart. You know, as a soul. You know, a long time ago when he saw your forefathers, these early men, if you will, early women of early creation, all they were doing was evil and wicked before him. And that hurt the heart of God. Matter of fact, you know what the Bible records for us? God said it repented him that he made man. I should not have done it. How about that? That's the Bible teaching there. But notice, it grieved him. Why? Because he saw that mankind, even in his early stages, they only wanted to do evil. Now, church, that's before drugs. That's before weed. That's before meth, cocaine. That's before porn. That's before internet. That's before knives and guns. This is just way early mankind. And yet they didn't want to have a relationship with God. So I want you to see it starts from where, church? The heart. Okay? It starts from the heart. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. The first mention of God being grieved in your Bible, you saw it. It was because the heart of man was given over to evil thoughts continually, evil imaginations continually. And when God sees that, when the heart of man, you know what it does? It grieves him. We'll get some application as we continue in our lesson. Look at 1 Samuel 15. The Bible says, starting here in verse number 11. Well, look at verse number 10, because this is always good, amen. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. What is the context here, church? You guys remember the story. Before King David became a great king over the nation of Israel, God had first raised up Saul, and he made him the king. But remember, Saul disobeyed the command of God when he told him to utterly destroy these people. Take them all out. Take out all their animals. I don't want nothing left over. But he disobeyed that command. And look at what God told the man of God, which is the prophet Samuel. I should not have done it. You know what? I shouldn't have put that man to be king. Why? Because he turned back from following me. Church, that's the definition of backsliding. It's when you turn your back from following God. Notice, not necessarily the church. You haven't been there in a minute. We know that. Not necessarily reading your Bible. We know that. But it's within your heart, Genesis 6, you turn back from following God in your heart. And you know what the Bible says? That grieves him. But now, the man of God was grieved for the failure of the people of God. Samuel was grieved because of the disobedience of the king. And likewise, application, we as Christians, we're going to be grieved. Me as your pastor, I will be grieved when you stray from following God. It's going to grieve me. Because we can't force you to come to church. We can't force you to read the Bible. We can't force you to soul win. We can't force you to do nothing from God. But you know what it does? It grieves us. Let's go to Psalm 95. Psalm chapter 95. Today's lesson, what are we talking about? How not to grieve God. And we're going to give you the remedy for it before we close. Psalm 95. Today, I'm so glad to see every single one of y'all here. But my hope and my prayer is that you'll let the Bible have the effect in your life by responding to what it's presenting to you today, so that way you and I both can continue to maintain an upright relationship with our God. All right, now look here. Psalm 95, verse 7. The Bible says, for he is our God. Is he your God today? Have you trusted Christ? All right, so we can get some application later on as Christians. But now for the nation of Israel, that's what they're saying. He is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Anybody out here today? I know you're here physically, but are you here spiritually? I know you're here physically, but are you here emotionally? In other words, when you came to church today, did you come not just because of the requirement from the command to not forsake, but are you coming with your heart also before your God? Look at the Bible. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your what? Say with me. Heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me. And again, we know we're talking about Israel. What did they do? They proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So God was grieved with those Jews, not all of them, because remember, the second generation of the Jews coming out of Egypt, they went into the promised land. It was that first generation. Why? Because they tempted God. They wanted to prove God. But notice, they erred in their heart. Church, when you begin to try to prove God, when you begin to try to put him to the test, when you stray from him, it's going to grieve him. It's going to grieve him. That's all I'm trying to point out to you, is you're grieving God as you remain outside of the fold, as you remain outside of his house. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And by the way, the good news is, praise the Lord, we have technology. If we're going a little too quick, be shy. You can look up to the projector, or you can watch the video recording when we post it. Look at Psalm 119 all the way down here in 158. This is the longest chapter in your Holy Bible. All right. Psalm 119. Look at here in verse 158. That's a lot of verses. Amen. All right. Now watch this. Remember how I said earlier how it'll grieve people who care about you in the faith? Look at here. Bible says in 158, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. That's all it does to me, brother, sister. It grieves me as a brother in Christ when I see you not keeping the word of God, when I see you not obeying the word of God, when I don't see you at church anymore, when I don't see you praying, when I don't see you soul winning, when I don't see you doing those things. You know what? It just grieves me. And I know, friend, that it grieves you when you don't see other Christians being faithful to the book. I know it does. And that's a good thing, because we're still sensitive in our heart to the things of God. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 3. Jeremiah chapter number 3. Oh, I apologize. Jeremiah chapter number 5. What do we need to do, church? We need to take care of our heart. We need to guard our heart. We need to make sure that our heart is submissive to God. We need to make sure our heart is meditating on the Bible. We need to make sure that our heart is receiving the Bible. Because what can happen is when we begin to remove our heart from him, it can become hardened. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Isn't that wild? God punishing the nation of Israel in hopes that they will wake up from the error of their way, in hopes that they will repent from their sin, but they didn't grieve. How about you, Christian? Did God expose you? Has God exposed the error of your way? Has God exposed your sin? Have you been experiencing all these trials and tribulations in your life, but have you not grieved? Why? Keep reading. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. Why? They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. You know why it's difficult for some of you to receive Bible correction? You know why it's difficult for you to return back to your God who loved you? It's because you refuse to be corrected by the truth. It's because you refuse in your heart to repent and to acknowledge before God, God, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm so sorry. As you and I remain in a state of rebellion off the path, what's going to happen to our heart, what's going to happen to our faces, is they will become hardened. Hardened. Two more places, church. Mark chapter 3. You say, Brother Carlos, that's a lot of Old Testament. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm trying my best to live by the, you know, what I got to do as a believer. It's the same God. Same God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All that scripture is profitable for instruction, correction, reproof. Just let the Bible do its job, church. Just receive it. That's what I want you to do. It's my hope. Now look at here. Jesus, doing what he did best, being a good man, being a wise man, being the Messiah, just trying to do good as the Father told him to do. Go out there, heal some people, deliver some people, you know, raise the dead, doing all those things. He went into a synagogue, verse 1, Mark 3. There was a man there which had a withered hand. They watched him, so those Jews that were hanging out in there, right, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. Rather than receiving Jesus to do some good, they were waiting to call him out for a fault. Why? What have we been learning so far? Their heart. Their heart was hardened. Now look at 3. He saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. So he's sitting down. Stand up. He saith unto them. So those are the remaining folks in the synagogue. He asked them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. They were quiet. Now look at here, verse 5. Is it possible for Jesus to be grieved? When he had looked round about on them with anger. That's right. If you haven't heard it before, church, welcome to a Bible-believing church. Jesus can get angry. Jesus was angered while he was on the earth, but he had a cause. Remember that, Matthew 5. He had a cause. Why was he angry? Being grieved for the what? Hardness of their hearts. You've seen it now. You heard the lesson today, church. All the scripture. Heart, heart, heart. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. How not to grieve God is the title of today's message. Your heart. You don't want to grieve him. You don't want to displease your Savior who gave himself for you on that cross, who was beaten for you on that cross, who was whipped to get to that cross to save your soul from going to a hellfire. You want to maintain a good relationship so that your Savior is pleased with you rather than grieved with you. Make sure your heart stays faithful to him. Make sure your heart stays in love with him, because friend, when your heart begins to go back to the world, when it becomes to go back to the man, the woman, the things of this world, you're going to grieve him. Last verse, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Is it possible then for Christians to grieve God? We've read a lot about the nation of Israel. I mean, it's pretty clear, right? God dealing with them conditionally under the law to govern them in the land. Oh, yeah. It is so that not only the nation of Israel can be grieving God, but even a New Testament Christian. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 30. Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I want you to think about it like this now before we close. There was a marriage covenant. There was a marriage bond. When you accepted Christ into your heart as Savior, God entered into an everlasting relationship with you. The Bible calls us collectively the church. We are called the bride of who? Christ. And one day we're going to be married to him. We know that we're going to spend eternity with him. Okay, so get the picture now. Marriage, marriage. Here's the husband. He's faithful. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't treat you bad. He doesn't lie to you. He doesn't steal from you. He's always doing you good. He's always trying to just see how you're doing. He's always trying to help you. He's always trying to love you. He's always trying to spend time with you, but you don't want to spend time with him. You really don't want to treat him the way he's treating you. You don't talk to him some days of the week, even though he's there with you in the house. As a matter of fact, you want to call the old husband, the old gods. I remember that application, Israel. You want to go back to the world, and yet your husband doesn't leave you. You're taking him with you. You know what you're doing in the meanwhile in that relationship? You know what I'm doing in the meanwhile in that relationship? I'm grieving God's spirit. But does he leave me? No. Reread verse number 30. Sealed. He doesn't leave. He ain't leaving. He will never leave you nor forsake you, Christian. He will never lose you, Christian. Your salvation is secure. That's right. You can't lose it. So church, why not live in love with him? Why not live loving him? Why not be submissive to the one who gave himself for you? Why not let the one who died for you, that desires to deliver you from sin in the world, why not let him correct you? Why not let him teach you? Why not let him guide you? You say, Brother Carlos, but Jesus is in heaven. I mean, all I got is this book. You're absolutely right. But you're not alone. You know what your Savior gave you? He gave you the Bible, he gave you the Holy Spirit, and he gave you the church. It's through those three things that we are going to be able to be strengthened in our relationship with him. But the question is this. Do you desire to return with all your heart to the one who gave himself for you? Or do you want to continue to grieve God? I just want to let you know before we close, there is mercy and available. There is compassion available. There is forgiveness anytime for you as a Christian. You already know that. 1 John chapter 1, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just. He will. But do you want to? And if you don't want to, believer, why not? He's so good. Man, he loves you. Look at what he did for you. Why not live in surrender? Why not let him be the Lord over your life today, friend? So what I want to close with, how not to grieve God. What is the answer? By keeping my heart submissive to his heart. By keeping my mind submissive to his mind. By keeping myself immersed with his word. By being in prayer. By being in fellowship with other children who love him enough to tell me I'm wrong when I'm wrong. By hanging out with other children that love him enough to tell me I'm doing right to strengthen me to keep loving God. Church, that's what we need. We don't want to continue to grieve him. Don't grieve him today, Christian. Repent, turn back to him with all your heart, and let him deliver you, let him restore you, and let him continue to show you why his way is better than your way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Sunday school hour. Lord, I know this message was for me, God. I know, Lord, I was preaching right back to myself, God, because I am so wretched. This flesh, God, that Bible says, dwelleth no good thing inside of it. But Lord, I'm thankful that you've given me the Holy Spirit. Lord, everybody here today, I believe, is a saved Christian. Lord, you've given them the Holy Spirit as well. God, would you help us not to grieve you anymore? Some of us today may be in a part of our walk with you, Lord, where we did backslide. We did stop following you with all our heart. Today, I hope that they heard the good news, the resolution, that all they got to do is repent and turn back to you. And God, you will forgive them. And you'll begin to help them to restore them back to you, just like you promised. So that way they no longer are walking in a manner that is grieving you. God, help us not to live as Christians that grieve you. Help us to live as Christians that please you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Love you. We're going to go and take a 15-minute break. You guys already know. And we'll get ready for the Sunday service at 1:45. Amen. All right now.